4. And the first thing on our agenda is roll call.
Mayor Reese.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez-G.
Here.
Councilmember Rabinalt.
Here.
Councilmember Higginbotham.
Here.
And for the record, Councilmember Natoli is absent. Thank you.
Okay. Our invocation will be given by Dr. Paul Jones, retired.
Would you please stand and bow your heart with me? Our Heavenly Father, the day after tomorrow will be the inauguration of our 43rd President, George W. Bush. President Franklin Pierce, our 14th U.S. President, said in his inaugural address in 1853, "Let not the foundation of our hope rest upon man's wisdom. It will not be sufficient. It must be felt that there is no national security but in the nation's humble, acknowledged dependence upon God and His overruling providence." 152 years have come and gone since President Pierce said that, but today, as American citizens, we boldly affirm and proclaim our nation's motto, "In God We Trust." And we join President Franklin Pierce and humbly acknowledge our total dependence upon God and His overruling providence. It is in this spirit we pray this invocation. We thank You for the privilege to live in our beautiful city of Pismo Beach. Thank You for the rain You have so freely sent to our area. The lush green hillsides that surround our community causes us and be for the betterment of all of our citizens and the guests who visit our city. This invocation we pray in the name of our personal Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez-G, you want to lead us in our pledge?
If you'll place your right hand over your heart.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The next item on our agenda is several presentations, so I will bring these down to the podium, if I can lift them.
You want some help, Marianne?
I think I've got it. Thank you. Okay. Appreciate it.
This is a proclamation, City of Pismo Beach, with grateful appreciation to Administrative Secretary Elsa Perez, Outstanding City Hall Employee of the Year 2004. Whereas Elsa Perez has been employed with the City of Pismo Beach as an Administrative Secretary since July 25, 1994. Yeah. The years go by. And whereas during the course of her employment, Elsa has met or exceeded the standards of her position. And whereas Elsa takes the initiative, has pride in her accomplishments, and continually excels to the benefit of the public she serves. And whereas Elsa is an excellent team player, role model, consistently working cooperatively and effectively with her coworkers to ensure the best possible customer service for the citizens of Pismo Beach. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the City Council of the City of Pismo Beach that Elsa Perez is hereby awarded the distinction of the Pismo Beach City Hall Employee of the Year for the year 2004, dated this 18th day of January 2005, signed Marianne Reese, Mayor. Congratulations as well.
Thank you, Mayor and City Council members. This is truly an honor. I almost wanted to cry. It's always a pleasure for me to serve the public. I love my job, and I just enjoy serving the public. Thank you so much for this honor.
You're very welcome.
City of Pismo Beach, with grateful appreciation to Laboratory Analyst, Pre-Treatment Inspector, quite a title, Brooke Upmore, Outstanding Public Works Employee of the Year 2004, Whereas Brooke Upmore has served the City of Pismo Beach since October 20th, 2003, and whereas Brooke has proven herself as a diligent and dedicated team member to the Wastewater Division of the Public Works Department, and whereas Brooke has provided exceptional inspection and reporting of the city's pretreatment program with local restaurants and hotels, and whereas Brooke has assembled, written, and distributed timely monthly, quarterly, and annual NPDES reports, and whereas Brooke has enhanced the overall appearance of the laboratory facilities and efficiency of the wastewater treatment plant laboratory testing and data recording, and whereas Brooke provided necessary support to the Water Division regarding test and processing of samples, and whereas Brooke, as a team player, sets very high standards, reaches those standards, and then holds to those standards, and whereas Brooke demonstrates a friendly, professional manner when dealing with co-workers, residents, and visitors to Pismo Beach. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the City Council of the City of Pismo Beach that the City hereby applauds Brooke Upmore's dedicated efforts and commitment to the city and names her as Outstanding Public Works Employee of the Year 2004.
Thank you. I really appreciate this. I work with such a great group of guys in the Wastewater Department and Public Works, so this means a lot. Thank you.
This is a proclamation, City of Pismo Beach, with grateful appreciation to Police Records Clerk Kim Lang, Outstanding Police Department Employee of the Year 2004. Whereas Kim Lang has been employed with the City of Pismo Beach as
the award belongs to our entire department, because from the dispatcher who takes the call to the officer that responds, to the detectives that follow up, to the property person that books it into evidence, and to the records people who dot the I's and cross the T's and get it to court, this wouldn't be possible. Our department wouldn't be possible. And because of the leadership that we have, Commander Smith, Commander Norton, and Chief Cortez, couldn't find a better department to work for. Thank you so much for this.
This is a proclamation, City of Pismo Beach, expressing the City's grateful appreciation to Battalion Chief Mike Harkness, Outstanding Fire Department Employee of the Year 2004. Whereas Battalion Chief Mike Harkness has served with the City of Pismo Beach since October 2001, and ever since has taken great pride in this department, consistently displaying a strong personal and professional commitment to the fire service in the City of Pismo Beach. And whereas Battalion Chief Mike Harkness has been a loyal team player within the Pismo Beach Fire Department, actively promoting teamwork, physical fitness, and professionalism through his personal example. And whereas Battalion Chief Mike Harkness is responsible for daily operational management and development of fire department personnel. And whereas Battalion Chief Mike Harkness has implemented the seamless automatic aid response plan with adjoining fire stations to provide the most effective level of service to the citizens of Pismo Beach. And whereas Battalion Chief Mike Harkness consistently displays the greatest attitude, excellent leadership, sets an outstanding example for his subordinates and peers, and fosters harmony within the department and adjoining fire agencies. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the City Council of the City of Pismo Beach that the City hereby commends Battalion Chief Mike Harkness for his dedication, loyalty, and commitment to the City, and names him as Outstanding Fire Department Employee of the Year 2004. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I consider myself extremely fortunate to work with such a dedicated professional bunch of men and women, some of which were nice enough to come here to support me tonight. I'm proud to serve the city. I'm proud to work with the Pismo CDF Fire Department, and I'm very proud that you selected me to be your Employee of the Year. Thank you very much.
Thank you. This next presentation is really an honor for the city to receive, and it takes a lot of hard work from the finance department, and I think especially Susan West Jones. Would you like to come up and accept this? And the other employees, too. Certificate of Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting presented to the City of Pismo Beach, California for its comprehensive annual financial report for the fiscal year ended June 30th, 2003. A Certificate of Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting is presented, it's great to see all of you there, is presented by the Government Finance Officers Association of the United States and Canada to government units and public employee retirement systems whose comprehensive annual financial reports, CAFRs, achieve the highest standards in government accounting and financial reporting. And this is from the Edward Harry and Kent Harrington President and Jeffrey Esser, Executive Director. This is truly an honor for us to receive, and I know it's a result of all your hard work, and I'm very appreciative, and so is the rest of the council, and we're very proud of you.
Thank you, Mayor, City Council, and Kevin Rice, for all of your support. I would like to let everybody know that the preparation of this report is a group effort among the city's auditor, myself, and George, and the hard work and dedication and support of the finance department staff. So I just want to recognize all of their efforts. Thank you.
Could we see it?
And also, maybe you could introduce your staff.
Deb, this is Deb Garcia. She's our accounting technician, and she does our payroll and human resources. There's Marietta Watson. She's our office clerk, and she handles all the entering of the cash receipts. There's Nathania Boutette. She handles the miscellaneous receivables and the special projects for George and myself, which we keep pretty busy. There's Elaine DeWitt, who's in the red shirt in the back here. She does the utility billing, business license, and TOT. And she's our longest person here. How long has it been? 30 years?
Oh, yeah, my.
Elaine's our long time here.
And this is kind of different now at 4:30. I'm glad we don't have smell-o-vision here, because that just gives me another hour to get dirty at work and come here and still not time for a shower. I would like you to pull item 4F, please, from the consent agenda. And possibly could you think that if a citizen asks for a consent agenda to be pulled rather than you guys, that you might be able to move it up? When you guys pull it, you're going to be here anyway. So if you put it at the end there, it's not going to affect anyone, you know. But and if a citizen asks for it, maybe you can fit it in somewhere, I don't know, before the end of the very meeting and make it, if need be, I'll tough it out. And any citizen would, but it seemed like it would be a little bit easier. I'd like to thank Commander Norton for personally talking to Duncan Jewelers and getting the practice of throwing the cigarette butts off our streets. That's no longer a problem there. It was a great effort on his part. That was cool. Spyglass Park, that house that was next to it with the fence, they've dropped their fence down now to 42 inches, which is a good deal. But it still extends 8 foot out on the bluff. They haven't moved it back. This is going to be a nail puller and stuff like that. So anyway, they've complied a little ways. They still have to bring 5 foot off the bluff. And then, believe me, it's 8 foot out there. I don't know how the welder got out there to chop those things down. I hope he was tied off well. And they still have their irrigation system out there. And with the last rains, you can see where it washed a lot of their, it's called gorilla hair that you put down the matting to keep. You can see the irrigation system is really exposed now. And that's supposed to be taken off, too. And if they're not getting anything growing after this last rain, they're not going to get anything growing out there. And at the seawall that was built there, the Grossman Seawall 127/125 Indio, they have a personal fence also extending over the bluff. Not just 42 inches, but it's still extended over the bluff. I don't know who signed off the final, if there's been a final signed off or anything, but that's in violation. And it's important to have consistency. Now, we just went through this person at Spyglass, and let's keep this, you know, that's what the law says, that's what our books say, that's what it should be. Thank you.
Thank you. The next person I have, and I hope I'm not murdering your name, Joa Stokesol.
Must have.
He doesn't even recognize.
Unless he's just not.
Stockdale?
John Stockdale?
No. Oh, it is.
Oh, no.
John,
where did you learn to write?
Good evening, Mayor and City Council, John Stockdale, Shoreline Drive.
Whoa.
He's so thin.
That's what it is. He's got
he
so
writes
thin.
Different.
I had the opportunity to sit in for your team building session and seminar at the Cliffs on the 6th and the 7th. And during that session, one of the comments that was made was that there would be a summary, written summary available. So my question of staff is this summary available for the public?
There is one, yes.
Thank you. The next three items also came up during that day, and these are items that I think you ought to consider agendizing in the future. The first one would be the possible broadcast or taping somehow of the Planning Commission meetings. One method might be for some audio taping to be done that could be checked out by members of the public. Another method might be to have it videoed, where a CD might be available for the public to review it. Another method might be for it to be taped and video streamed on our website so that anybody could look at it anytime that they wish. So I'd like to have that agendized down the road if you could. Another item that came up during that session was the possible increase of the stipends that you pay all of your commissions. It might help help down the road, so I'd like to have you agendize that if you could. Another item that came up was the architecture review subcommittee. And down the road, if you could agendize talking about the AR committee, see if we want to bring it back as part of the Planning Commission or bring it back as a separate committee. But something down the road, if you could talk about that. The final thing I want to talk about, you might have noticed in the paper that the city of Rio Grande got some real nice press on the 14th putting up a loan for a project in Rio Grande. Well, this is going to affect us also a little bit because you've placed me on the San Luis Obispo Housing Trust Fund.
Smooth Beach City Council take lead to jumpstart campaign to safeguard against any large ocean-related catastrophic happenings. Thank you.
Thank you. The next card I have is Paul Sacco.
Good afternoon. Excuse me. Madam Mayor, members of the council, I'd like to talk about undergrounding, overheading utilities. This has been one of my topics that I've had not much success with, but I'm still pursuing it. It's obvious there are three entities involved in this topic: the homeowner, the city, and the utilities. We're approaching the homeowners, you realize that's a difficult situation for many reasons. The utilities, they're very intractable. They're not going to move unless forced to by whatever reason. That leaves the city here in the middle. One of the things I'd like to ask, and maybe it can't be answered today, is we have easements now granting overhead wiring to the various utilities. And I keep hearing on the news that more and more wiring is coming to the overheads, already burdening our views. I'd like to ask, is it possible for the city to consider an ordinance whereby in older neighborhoods that no further overheading of utilities shall be permitted, and also that any overhead wiring that is not currently being used or will not be used in the future be removed? This is what I'm asking to be considered as a step towards pushing forward the idea of undergrounding. We need to start looking at this in stronger ways. And finally, I think what we need to do more aggressively is maybe get a workshop of homeowners, the city, and the utility companies, and lay things on the table and find out where we all, what we all can do to move this forward. I think everybody has a part in it, not just to say the homeowner has to pay 100% of the bill. Utilities been reaping their benefits and rewards from overheading, and of course the city's been caught in the middle for a variety of reasons. We're not here to blame, but I'm asking that what I just presented be considered. I don't know whether this is doable or not. I've asked to see what easements are available, how they have been written, and I have not had much response in this area. But let's see if we can move forward on this idea that I have presented. Maybe it's not doable or not, but I would appreciate it being looked into. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
But it may be something that we'll want to put on a future agenda, because I think all of us have some concerns about undergrounding. And
I think it's time to be addressed in a stronger fashion. I think maybe what I'm suggesting here might be a way to start putting a little bit of arm gripping on some people. Thank you.
Madam Mayor, may I just ask Paul a question? How are you doing with the 12, wasn't it 12 homes up there that have decided to go in together and underground?
Well, the issue on Delano is already settled. They have done undergrounding. Now, I have recently been meeting with, I don't want to go beyond my time limit here, but I've been meeting with city staff regarding the upgrading of the reservoir at Merced and Longview, which involves a lot of overhead wiring. And I don't want to get into that issue right now, but we have had some discussions in that, and I can discuss that in more detail with you at your convenience. I think it should be interesting to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Mary Lee Hyman.
Mary Lee Hyman, 2141 Shoreline Drive. Madam Mayor, members of the council, a comment about concerns that have come up in the last two council meetings, comments about fence setback on the coastal bluffs. I'd like to point out that I hope the staff doesn't go crazy over this, because anything on the bluff is a temporary measure only. Setbacks for fences, you have to keep in mind that in the future, every one of our streets has the option of becoming bluff top ocean front property. The recent rains show this. On my block alone, we have had two giant truckloads of dirt fall from the cliffs. For the 2 weeks following any significant rain, we have significant erosion on our bluffs. So for the next 10 days, we all cross our fingers and hope our property does not disappear into the ocean. But we all have a chance of being there in the beautiful views. It may be for a short time. You have a setback for a fence, but it won't be for long. I had fences going right up to the bluff edge when I moved into my property. Two lengths of that have already eroded off, and that's 10 feet. So
Long there gets the proper kudos for doing that. Thank you. Another topic I'd like to visit today is the car show. And the question I have is, and I just found this out, I think it was a week before last, after the meeting, that the purpose of the proposals at the time was because of the immediacy of finding somebody to operate the car show for this year and possibly next. As I did some research, Don and I found out that this car show was extended for 5 years. Now, there was a reason why we initiated an RFP and spent about $50,000 procuring that a couple of years ago, and that was to invite outside promoters into the system. And on one hand, we're issuing a contract. You know, it was like an urgency ordinance. It was to implement this thing rather quickly. And on the other hand, now we're instituting a contract for 5 years, and I think this needs to be investigated to see why we instituted an RFP and now we're not utilizing it. And I think it's very important, and not for my sake, because you know that's water under the bridge for me. But I think it's very important that if we institute something, we need to live by it. And I think that with what's gone on here, in the urgency, number one, we have a person that's promoting this show that has no track record. I'm sorry, the man who's doing it and is in the forefront does not have a track record. Les, on the other hand, he does. He's not. He's in the background. He was when they came in last time. So my point is that if that person that doesn't perform his duties and what the city is obligating him to do, then we have a real crisis on our hands. So I think that we really need to take a hard look at that. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll just make one comment. I think that there is a clause in the contract where we can cancel it, I believe, with a certain amount of notice. Okay, the next item on our agenda is City Council comments. Councilmember Higginbotham, do you have anything?
Yes. We have made a request. I think we've directed staff as of this morning to make a request to ask the car show promoter to please attend the next CIG and or BIG meetings. And hopefully the two council members that represent council at those meetings could make that introduction. And that way he can communicate to the members of that group his ideas and what he's done so far in promoting the car show. I think that would be really important. And that's my only comment.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez-G.
I have a couple of things. Firstly, I wanted to ask Mr. Bloom, do we have a scheduled CIG meeting coming up?
No.
Okay, so as soon as we know that date,
yes.
Then we'll invite
then
the new
yes,
car show promoters.
Absolutely.
Okay, that was number one. And number two, I meant to ask Mr. Rice earlier today. The young lady that came before council last week or the week before that was interested in discussing view quarters or a tree ordinance or... there were several different issues. Were you able to have a meeting with her?
No, she's never followed up with a call to me. I gave her my telephone number that night, and I've never heard anything back.
Wow. Okay, well, they're not interested, then that's fine. And then thirdly, and it's very, very important, I would like for this council to consider agendizing an item so that it can be discussed. I think... It's very important that this city has a city chaplain. And the reason for that, if anyone's noticed, over the last year, the invocation has been given by Reverend Paul Jones probably all but two meetings. He prays for us by name daily. We need that. And I would just like to agendize that and see if the council is interested in making Reverend Paul Jones our city chaplain. And that's all I have, Madam Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Ravino.
Well, I would be interested in following up on that. So,
well, thank you.
The rest of
thank
the council
you.
Does as well. I think that would be great. Just briefly, this is the time of the year where this comes to my mind the most, and that is in January we have the installation dinners of all the new council people. We have retirement dinners for outgoing council people in all areas. We have the Chamber of Commerce installation dinner. Well, these things all average between $50 and $75 each. You know, granted, we do make $300 a month as council people.
But there is an expense account we receive on top of our salary.
I understand but that, but it doesn't... what I'm asking the...
Okay.
What I'm asking the council is I'd like to agendize that.
Okay. So, and I would agree. I'd like to discuss it. But okay. So there's an expense account above and beyond. So
yes.
So I still don't catch.
There's 75 and 75 yeah. We get every 2 weeks just to cover those kinds of things.
And we automatically get that?
Yeah. It's on our check. But
and
it's
that
certainly
covers
we
gas.
Should put it on the agenda and talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah. With gas at, okay. You know, $3 a gallon, that doesn't go very far either.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Okay, good. Okay, then we'll agendize that there,
okay.
Mr. Rice.
And then, I just had really one item I was just going to talk. Somebody asked if the summary report was available for the public of our special meeting we had off-site that was a team building that we had on the 6th and 7th. It was a day and a half long. And we just covered about four or five topics. We talked about what makes an effective council team, actions the council will take to be more effective. Since we had a new council, we thought we'd start out and just try to do the best we could right from the beginning. And we formed some actions that we'll take to improve our partnerships in the community. And then we mapped out some community issues and just threw some things on the board of some visions and some long-range goals that we might want to talk about with the public. So that's kind of a short summary of what we did do that day, in case anyone is interested. But there is a report that the city manager has available if you'd like to see it. And then walking on the pier the other day, I noticed that the new planks that we put down, some of them are popping up, and several of them are up about that much. Okay. If you take a look at that.
Sure.
And then when I first came on the council 8 years ago, I had Mr. Whittington speak to me about the fact that he takes care of the weeds. He sprays them on Hollister that are popping up through the cement, or not the cement, but the slurry seal. And he's been spraying them for now 8 years that I know of, and wondered if we, you know, couldn't put a slurry seal on that that might help get rid of some of the weeds, and maybe we could pay a little bit more attention. It's that block between Price and Dolliver.
Oh, we'll look into that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And that's all I have. The next item on the agenda is the consent agenda, and one of the items have been pulled or would be pulled, 4F. Does the council agree to that?
I'll move for approval of the balance of the consent.
Do I have a second?
I second it.
Okay. We have a motion and a second.
Councilmember Rabinoff?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez-G?
Yes.
Councilmember Higginbotham?
Yes.
Mayor Reese?
Yes.
Passes 4-0-1. Thank you.
Okay. We do not have any public hearings this evening, and usually we take these items at the end as item 10. But since I've been asked for us to take it sooner, I'll make that decision to do so. Do you? Could I have?
Well, may I ask you a question, Madam Mayor, on that, if you don't mind? There have been several people that have asked that question,
including you,
including me, because it is for the public. Now, you saying last time we had some time before the public hearing, so we did it that time. Now we don't have public hearing, so we're going to do it this time. Next time we may not do it. I don't think that shows consistency, Madam Mayor, and what I would like to do is ask the council then to make a determination on when we will hear consent.
Okay, we'll need to agendize that, and I was just taking the liberty to do this evening.
So I understand
partly,
what you were doing.
Partly because you've asked.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. But
I certainly can hold it over to item 10, if that's your preference. What would you like to do this evening?
No, move it forward. It's the public, I believe, that particularly when, you know, like it's been stated, we're here anyway. But if the public has a concern in something, they ought to be able to get up and talk about it and not have to wait until 11 o'clock at night.
Thank
you.
Okay, item 4F, Mr. City Manager.
Madam Mayor and Council, item 4F is the purpose of it is to actually try and fix some of the erosion that was talked about earlier tonight down on Ocean View. I'd like to ask Mr. Delzite, our Public Works Director and City Engineer, to talk about some of the particulars about what we're trying to do to fix the problem down there.
We have designed a project and received 7 bids, and we're recommending that the City Council award a contract to Sousa Construction in the amount of approximately $71,000. This will improve the drainage along Ocean Park, which has been somewhat of a problem for years. What happens is the water at certain times when we have a drain inlet that's fairly small with a 24-foot-long drain inlet, and we're also replacing some of the drivable curb with 8-inch curb face, which contains the flow a lot better. We know that this will improve the drainage at that location by quite a bit. It's not an exact science, so we can't guarantee that it'll fix things forever, but it'll really improve what we have been experiencing out there for a while. So we're asking the City Council to award the contract to SUSE and to approve a resolution which will transfer some funds so that that will provide funding for the construction of the project.
Okay. Any of the council have any questions or comments? Okay. We had someone from the audience.
Certainly. When do you expect to start construction, if indeed
this is approved? Assuming the council awards the project tonight, it usually takes about 2 weeks to get all the paperwork signed, the bonds submitted, reviewed and approved, the contract signed, and so forth. And we have a pre-construction meeting, and then the contractor mobilizes. So we would anticipate starting in about a month when the contractor actually arrives on site and begins work.
Bruce, you had some comment you wanted to make.
Good evening again. I agree that Dennis's project should be approved and moved ahead. The rain does cascade down there, and it's just a ramp down there, and the little funky swell that they have there actually gives it a little oomph to get going. It actually hardly does anything at all. And they're going to put an 8-inch curb, and that'll be sufficient for all except for super monsoonal rains that, you know, you can't be building a 3-foot barricade down there. No one would like that. But there's another problem there. That grass along the bluff should be removed. You don't allow homeowners, well, when you can't see it, you know, they can do it. But if someone was to build a new house on the bluff edge, you would have an area where they would sit back, and you wouldn't allow any type of vegetation growing there except native and drought-resistant stuff. We went through this at Dinosaur Caves there. When I was part of the task force there, when we were involved with the Cal Poly students, we all understood that you don't grass right up to the edge of the bluff. But if you go to that park there, it's right there to the bluff. And if you see it, it cleaves right there. And Dennis is right. That is the shale stone is down there. But if you look, it's the soft conglomerate sandy soil that has, through the years, the millenniums, have come down and solidified there. Now with the moisture, under a normal situation of having water on it all the time, it would have some type of roughness, a hardness to it that would stand up. Kids like it, the grass. Dogs like it. Moles, ground squirrels, and gophers love it. They tunnel up there, and they're in hog heaven there. And if you go there, you can see, you just come down, sit down there sometime, and just kick back, and you'll see a little squirrel every once in a while running around. You'll see holes in our city parks along the bluff edge there. Like I said, private citizens can't plant there. While we've had these rains erode some of the bluff edge, but it's the irrigation on that grass that goes on daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. You know, we can have that. If we want to have a little bit of grass there, maybe let's move it back to the other side of the sidewalk, because there's some of that grass there. And at some point, of course, the sidewalk's going to be endangered. But there is no reason to have that grass going all the way to that edge there. Another thing, when we had that big blowout there where the seawall had to go in over there when that street got resurfaced, it was funny. When the road got resurfaced, it was this big old heavy-duty curb maker, gigantic piece of machinery. And it put a lot of weight on that roadway there. And honest to goodness, 6 months later or something like that, when we had our winter come, that's exactly where the erosion was, because they went and they put that heavy piece of machinery right to the next at the edge there when they made the curb and gutters and stuff like that. This might be something to be thinking about. Maybe when it comes time to pour these curbs and gutters, that maybe, I know it'll probably run up the cost a little bit, but maybe instead of having the cement go right off the chute into the curb there, that it go into a grout pump, and you just have the grout pump pull the hose away, and you have the big, when you have a cement truck, it's 10 yards of cement. 10 yards is a lot of weight. Okay. So it's something to think about to save our edge.
Thank you. Does any of the council want
to... erosion later. It is really speculative for me to be able to determine without more information, more geotechnical information as to what the probability of a heavy concrete truck from causing erosion, further erosion from just the weight of the concrete mixer on the street during this construction activity. Afraid I can't answer that with any precision.
Okay, so then removing the grass from that area, is that something that would be feasible to do?
Feasible?
Would it save us? Would it be too costly to save anything in the long run? Be too costly to remove it?
Well, let me say this. This comes from what regulators have observed through the years where there's overwatering of turf areas adjacent to bluffs. Our park and landscape crew are very cautious about overwatering. It not only wastes water, but they realize the importance of not creating additional impact on the bluffs. So I could not recommend that we remove the turf out there, because I know our crews are very conscientious about that.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Dalzay.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
That's my park. I live on Morrow, as most of you know, and that's the park that I go to. You know, I have exactly the same concerns that Bruce has, because I've seen it. You know, Ian and I have been down there when those sprinklers go off and whatever. So I've often wondered about that, but there's also something else that I've wondered about. There's a lot of children and a lot of dogs that use that park down there. And if you're standing in the park looking out at the ocean, on the left-hand side particularly, you know, Ian's out there playing with a ball and whatever, and he goes over that sidewalk, and the grass just continues. And I've had to grab him by the arm and pull him back over, because he doesn't have the reference of, he sees grass, sidewalk, grass. And so he kept running. Mm-hmm. And it scared me enough that we don't go to that side of the park anymore. But what I would like to see happen is I would like to see the grass remain on the street side of the sidewalk that traverses that whole thing, but I would like to see the grass removed at the cliff. And one of the reasons for that is I believe that we put some of the native plants in there. I think that the rooting system, some of the natural plants have, will hold that bluff together better than watering grass. And then I also think that it could provide a natural barricade, as we've done at Dinosaur Caves. And I've got to give Bill Coach a lot of credit for his concern of safety over the years at Dinosaur Caves Park, as an example. Well, this is a worse problem than Dinosaur Caves because of that. So I would like to see that happen. Well, all of the grass.
Is there enough interest for the council to ask staff to look at that? To just give us a short report to say, yes, we agree that maybe that's something we need to do in the future.
Well, I just asked Mr. Delzite, and he said that he wouldn't suggest we do that.
No, removing all of the grass is what Mr. Delzite said.
No, just a portion of it. That's because Mr. McFarland said a portion of it. He didn't say all of the grass. And so Mr. Delzite already said that it wouldn't be feasible. Right.
We're losing our bluff.
And well, I agree with you. I agree with you, Bill. I agree with you.
Oh, she's with me. Okay.
No, I agree with you. I just think that we already asked staff, and they gave us.
Well, he's. I think what he told us is that it's not required.
Yes, I mean, if new knowledge is saying that you have to do it in new ones, that must mean it should apply to old ones.
Councilmember Rabinault brought up some other issues besides overwatering, safety. Of children, pets, and so forth, and native plants, the desirability of to substitute native plants for the turf. So if the council wishes further evaluation, we can do that.
Is there enough interest on the council's part to take a look at that? If not, we won't give any instruction to the staff.
May I also suggest, if there's interest in that, that this be taken through the PRBC as well, so the Parks Commission would have an opportunity to look at some of the judgment calls, if you will. There's some judgment calls to be made here as to whether it's enough of a safety hazard, for example, or whether the desirability of turf versus native vegetation. There are some issues there that perhaps the council may wish to have further advice on.
The PRBC be involved in that at some level.
Great. Okay, is that the desire of the majority of the council? If so, that's what we'll do. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's
I'd like
fine.
To move approval of 4F.
Is there a second?
I second it.
There's a motion and a second.
Councilmember Rabinal?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez-G?
Yes.
Councilmember Higginbotham?
Yes.
And Mayor Reese?
Yes.
Passes 401. Thank you.
Okay, we have no public hearings this evening. The first business item is 6A. Mr. City Manager.
Madam Mayor and Council, item 6A refers to some options that have been put before you, four options, namely, put before you before in the staff report, referring to Schaefer Lane. And this has come up before in front of Council approximately 3 months ago. I'd like to invite Chief Mike Harkness to talk to us about the four options and then be prepared to answer any questions you might have about Schaefer Lane.
Thank you, Mr. City Manager. I've come back to you tonight at council direction from a previous meeting to discuss the four options that a subcommittee has developed for Schaefer Lane. There are no easy decisions tonight. Schaefer Lane has been developed incrementally for over 20 years. And I have files that date back to 1985 that show staff and council and public concerns for the development along Schaefer Lane and the street width and access issues. The primary concern that brought the fire department and the traffic safety committee to bring this before council is one of emergency equipment access. Both for fire engines and for ambulances, we've got a significant access problem when cars park on Schaefer Lane due to the substandard width. There's a number of fire codes that relate to this. The most basic is found under the general section, and that states the required width of a fire apparatus access road shall not be obstructed in any manner, including the parking of vehicles. So even though we may have other conditions within the city where you have a condition where it does not meet the strict interpretation of the fire code, we brought this particular issue forward to you because we have a significant access problem. The timeline of our staff work on this is the initial item was brought before you in August 2004, and meeting where we went up, met with the residents on Schaefer Lane, took a fire engine up, invited some of the residents to ride in the fire engine, see what it was like to try and maneuver our way down, particularly with some of the vehicles that had been parked there. We didn't stage anything. We just took the street as it was and kind of showed them what the issue was and tried to develop some options for council at that point. Presented those options to council. Following the meeting, the city manager directed myself, Councilmember Totoli, Mayor Reese, Greg Gray from Public Works, and Randy Bello to form a subcommittee and see if we could come back with some more options for council. The subcommittee met in December 2004. We went back up a couple weeks ago and again met with the residents. We had Reverend Paul Jones was nice enough to open his house up to us. It was a rainy day, and we had a nice contingent of the residents of Schaefer Lane come out. Had a chance to discuss the four options that the subcommittee had developed and see if we could come up with any other ideas. And then we come back for you tonight. The four options are to designate Schaefer Lane as a one-way street, and which would allow for some limited parking. The advantage of that is that some parking remains. The disadvantage is now you have a one-way street, and there may be some interest to keep it as a two-way street. The second option before you tonight is to deny the resolution that we've presented and recommended designating Schaefer as a one-way street, direct staff to begin enforcement of the fire code, which means that no parking would be allowed, but the two-way street would remain. So the disadvantage of that option is that there's no parking now. The advantage is that you've maintained the two-way street. The third option before you is to direct the city engineer to prepare and present a budget adjustment. Dennis estimated that that would be somewhere in the neighborhood of $20,000, simply to prepare an engineering study. This is not for any road construction. This would be an engineering study to look at where the existing right-of-way is in relation to the street and find out what it would take to widen the street to some width that council proposes, either 20 or 24 feet. Dennis can correct me, but we believe that the estimated construction costs start someplace at $200,000 and go up from there. The fourth option would be to, option three is how would we pay for that? And staff would need to receive some direction from council on whether the city was going to bear that cost or whether there would be some sort of an assessment district. The fourth option would be to direct staff to prepare and present an ordinance to council, and perhaps you'd like to hear from the city attorney.
Well, I'll make a couple of comments. Both Rudy and I attended this last meeting and met with the residents, and there was really no conclusive consensus as to which way people wanted to go. One of the suggestions was is that, you know, we widen the street. Now, if it's my understanding that the city engineer said, or the civil engineer said, that in widening the street we would be taking some driveways, which would take care of some, in other words, it would take away some parking right on their property. But they can speak to that and let you know. The other one was to exempt the street from the fire code. And what I'd like to do, and then I'll ask if any of the other council have any questions before I open up to the public, is to ask the city attorney, what would your comment be about exempting it from the fire code?
My recommendation would be to not exempt it from the fire code. The whole purpose that you have fire codes and other life safety and health codes is to kind of standardize the expectations and to adapt the code to suit a situation rather than adapting the situation to suit the code, I think, is ill-advised. You certainly have the power to do it, and there are various local modifications to the fire code, building code, et cetera, that cities do to address particular unique situations within a particular city, but they generally are of broad application. In other words, applying to the entire city rather than one spot. I think by exempting this particular street from the fire code, you open yourself up to requests from all manner of construction and other issues to exempt from the building code, the plumbing code, the electrical code, the fire code, and you'll spend your entire time as a code reviewing body considering these requests. I know that's a slippery slope argument, but if you grant one exemption for a situation not of the city's making, I suspect you will see others.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Does any of the other council have any questions?
No, not after public comment, I would.
I do.
Did you have some?
Well, I was at the council meeting when this first came before. I was in the audience, though. And a couple options, I wasn't on the committee, so bear with me. A couple options that I thought were discussed, or just let me know if this is possible, is one, are there areas where you could just post it, no parking at the thinnest spots, and still keep it two-way and keep it legal? And the other is the option of incremental fire hydrants along Schaefer Lane so that you would have access to water to put out a fire from either end of the road.
Those questions were asked.
Mm-hmm. Yes, those questions were asked and discussed. The fire code actually is a 24-foot current width with no parking, so you would need at least 24 feet before you allowed parking. What we've suggested as an alternative to that is that if we were to go 20 feet before allowing parking, minimum of 20 feet before allowing parking, you'd have a 12-foot lane for emergency equipment and an 8-foot space remaining for parking. So we would post, we would curb, and in areas that would support that full 20-foot width, we would allow parking in those areas. Any future construction on that street would then also be required to provide 20 feet for homes or any remodels that were taking place or granny units, that type of thing. If we don't change the code, those homes will actually be required to provide 24 feet because that's what the current code calls for, which is, of course, much more expensive for those homes. The second item was, should we perhaps put additional standpipes in? Water delivery is really not the concern. We have a good hydrant system on that street. It's just physically getting the apparatus, the ambulance and the fire equipment, to the location of the emergency. There are many things that we carry on the fire apparatus in addition to hose. We carry a breathing apparatus, all of our ladders, our salvage covers, all the various tools we need, some of them, as you can imagine, quite heavy. So if we have an access issue, even if we had a hydrant or a standpipe in front of every house, it really wouldn't change the need for us to deliver all that other equipment and the personnel quickly to the scene of the incident. Additionally, we're talking about one type of incident there, which is fire. Even if you had the standpipes, that certainly doesn't change the response time for all the other medical emergencies or other types of emergencies we respond to.
Okay, and then I will make a comment about making it a one-way street. That seemed logical, I think, to a lot of the people. It means that everybody's going one way, and it would be inconvenient for some people that were down near the bottom if it's coming from the top down. Some of those people would just, you know, they'd have to come all the way down, up and down, to get to their house. And it would have been more convenient at this end. But logically, making it...
We're placed on the street at 12 feet, and no portion of the vehicle projected into that 12 feet. Yeah, there's a possibility that a few more spaces could be gained, which I think would be real good news to the residents. Maybe two or three more spaces. So we go from a total of, I think we anticipated maybe nine, initially was it nine, up to maybe 12 or 13. Little bit of a benefit. The other thing is on the widening issue, if the intent was to widen the street to 24 feet, which would be two-way with no parking, that's correct?
Sure.
Two-way, no parking. You know, if that was council's direction, or if the intent was to widen it everywhere to 20 feet so that it's one way with, you know, a guaranteed 8-foot parking lane, it would certainly mean the loss of some of the frontages along the houses, or we would have to go at a considerably greater expense after the hillside on the other side of the street. You know, just looking at the options for actually widening the street, the least expensive option would be to probably you'd have to go through condemnation proceedings and take pieces of each property along that entire street and to get the 20 feet, and then do construction of retaining walls and earthen embankments to gain that 20 feet. But it would be very expensive to do. And again, you would... A lot of the front yards, they're tiny right now. You can't even park a vehicle in the driveway as it is. It'd be even smaller.
Okay, thank you. If the council doesn't have any questions or comments, I'll open it up to the public.
Okay,
we have Ernest DeGasperis, and I may be murdering your name, speaking for Ken and Diane Bagwell.
Mayor, council members, my name is Ernest DeGasperis. Thank you for the correct pronunciation.
Good.
I evidently letter better than John Stocksdale writes. The Bagwells are present here this evening and have asked me to address you on their behalf. They reside at 1130 Schaefer, which is the high side, the uphill side of the intersection of Schaefer and Bay. Theirs is the very first house as you come off of Bay onto Schaefer going up the hill. They would be the last house if you're a one-way street coming down the hill. We have discussed, the Bagwells and I, and they have met with the committees, and looking at the four options before you, I think they would agree that the one-way street is probably the most viable that you have. I guess the issue then would be where is the bottom of that one-way street, or where does it begin? If one were to measure coming off of the corner of Bay going up Schaefer along their property line, it's less than two car lengths from the corner to their driveway. It's less than 40 feet. Also, that portion of Schaefer, the shoulder on the opposite side of the street from their property, extends out so that the street width exceeds 24 feet for the most part, immediately opposite their property. So their request is that you consider that if you do make that a one-way street, that possibly through signage and through striping, that it could, that the sign one-way street would begin just above their driveway, rather than to have them travel 6/10 of a mile up around Hanford, down Baxter, and then all the way the entire length of Schaefer to get to their driveway. That's only 40 feet up the street off of Bay. I have assessor parcel maps that might be of some help to each of you to visualize.
Please.
What I'm
could we flash it up? I would like to see.
Sir, if you'd prefer, there's a map of Schaefer up there on the wall. If you'd like to point that out, it might be easier for everyone to see, but that's
could
your call.
Could we put it on the screen?
I still can't see it.
I know.
I don't know if this.
I don't think that's big enough to see.
Show me where Schaefer starts. Okay, so their home is right here, and their driveway is right here.
Do you want to distribute those to us? Maybe we can look at it closer then.
Driveway is.
Okay, so where the 25 is above the 30 rather than the 24?
Correct.
Okay, so that would be, I don't know if we could do that. Okay, so that's your request.
That's our request.
Thank you.
Blend
that with our decision-making process. Thank you.
Randy.
Okay, the next one I have is Mark Schmidt.
So he sees what we saw.
Do you want to throw that up there? It wouldn't hurt while we're discussing it.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and members of the council. Mark Schmidt, 951 That's Schaefer Lane.
On the screen. Go ahead, Mark.
I'm a little torn between speaking on behalf of my neighbors and speaking simply on behalf of myself. I think all I can do is speak on behalf of myself. So I wanted to say that my main concern with this whole issue was parking restrictions. As you know, this was a fairly passionate issue for the neighbors on Schaefer Lane. We have parking problems on that street as it is, and the option of keeping it a two-way street and restricting parking altogether on that street to me was not a viable option at all, simply because all the other issues that would be connected with that. For example, where do you park if you can't park on Schaefer Lane? You'd be relegated to parking in front of somebody else's house, somebody else's property. Do you then assign parking spaces and, a whole myriad of issues that would surface as a result of that. And I think for the most part, the parking issue was the main issue for the neighbors on our street. Hopefully, I won't get strung up when I go back home by my neighbors for speaking for them. But we have not had an opportunity to reconvene as neighbors since the dashed line was put down. That really illustrates, the widths that we're talking about here. And I was, impressed by the number of additional parking spaces that now became available and gave us opportunity to park. above and beyond the original, I think, seven spaces that were outlined in the letter that came to the residents. So it seems to me, you know, looking at that, those new opportunities, there aren't a whole lot of locations on that street that where people aren't parking already. In other words, that dash line represents places where people currently park in general, and there were very few spaces that were excluded from where people park now. So, you know, in light of that, it appears to me that the one-waying of the street is going to negatively impact a couple of our neighbors, the Bagwells, for instance, the Williams that are further up the street because their driveway is kind of oriented in a downhill direction and would create a little maneuvering for them to get in and out of their house. But, you know, I think of the four options that are presented, you know, the one-waying of the street and allowing parking, if that dash line truly represents available parking opportunities on that street, really sheds a new light on the the whole issue on Schaefer,
okay.
And could potentially, you know, avoid a large expense, and perhaps, you know, council could take it upon themselves to, in the future, make this a project and see what may be done in the future to make the situation better on Schaefer Lane as additional houses are built. It's still a problem. It's not a perfect solution,
okay.
But I believe it's a step in the right direction. So.
Thank you, Mark. I think. Did you have?
I would like
comment?
To add one very quick comment. That is that line wasn't, you know, it wasn't surveyed in. It was about a half an hour job with a tape measure and a can of paint. So.
So you're worried?
You know, there. If you're parking there now and it looks like you're making it by an inch, you know, that it's likely that inch may go away when we figure out the turning radius of the fire apparatus, for example, on some of the turns. We're going to lose a little bit there, and certainly we could have been a little more accurate had we, you know, got a surveyor out there and spent some more time. So you know, don't rely on it 100%.
Okay. Thank you. Dr. Jones.
The battalion chief, Mike Harkness, came in, his friend, and spoke to us so kindly. And we asked, when we went over this, the same four things we'd gone over September the 7th, we've gone over since then, and you folks have gone over the same four things. Then Mike came in, we went over the same four things again. And the question was asked, is it possible that we could have a line drawn so that we would know exactly where we stand? And immediately, I would say within the next 3 days or 4 days or such, it was done. It's amazing. I am just elated. I cannot tell you how excited I am to see, and it may be an inch or two out of the way or such as that, but it just justifies an awfully lot of parking where cars have been parked heretofore. And every neighbor that I have spoken to regarding that is very, very affirmative about that matter. And I would like to strongly urge you as a citizen that you make Schaefer Lane one way, going one way from Baxter downhill to Bay. One way with parking where available. And that a line be put there permanently so that we could instruct all of our guests who come that they stay inside that line. Otherwise, they probably wouldn't know what the line was for. But it becomes our responsibility, and I'm surely prepared, and I know our neighbors are, to take care of that. The reason we need to go downhill rather than come uphill is it's more difficult to park parallel when you're backing in downhill. If we came up the hill, you're used to parking on the right because you're driving on the right. Now you're going to have to park on the left and come in downhill. And to park a car downhill is very, very difficult, especially for people who are not too adept to parking to the curb in that direction anyway. Secondly, if we park going uphill, that means the drivers would park by the curb and get out and have to immediately walk in the bushes that are placed there are walk-in flower beds that could well be mudded because of rain. That would be an inconvenience. Whereas if we came downhill, you park by the curb, you get out and you walk around and you're at home. Thirdly, mail truck. When they come to deliver our mail, they only have one door. That's on the right-hand side where the driver sits. He brings his little mail truck in there, takes his mail, puts it in the mailbox, and away we go. Now, if we have to go uphill, then the mail truck is going to have to go, and he's going to have to park that mail vehicle. He's going to have to take mail and get out and walk around, and then on the curb to every mailbox. That's a big inconvenience. So if we could make it going downhill one way from Baxter down to Bay, I would certainly like to request that you people do that. Thank you for the privilege to speak to you.
Brahma D. Sharma, 610 Vista Pacifica Circle. Thank you for the time again. I'm speaking simply as a citizen of Pismo Beach as a whole, not just living on Schaefer Main. Please consider the possibilities. Emergencies happen without anybody's knowledge. Liability of the city is very important. So when you make a decision, take that into account. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to come back to the council and see if the staff has any more comments as a result of the conversation at the from the public.
I think as a committee, at least two of us here, we thought that the issue of the two-way portion at the bottom of Schaefer Lane ought to be addressed. I think before we make a decision on that, I think it would be appropriate for the committee, possibly even the Traffic Safety Committee, to take a look at that. It seems like it'd be pretty confusing, pretty unusual and pretty confusing to have a short piece of the road be two-way. So.
Okay, so your thought is if we did make it one-way coming from down, going down to Bay from Baxter, that we postpone any decision regarding the bottom portion, allowing them to go up the opposite way until you've had a chance to have the Traffic Safety Committee look at it?
At least, okay. Yeah.
I'll make a recommendation on that. Speaking from the knowledge of what it would require to transition from a two-way street to a one-way street in the middle of a street, you would end up with sending a very mixed message to anybody that wasn't familiar with that street in that they could go partway up the street, and if they were not entering Mr. Bagwell's driveway, they would now need to find a place to turn around 40 feet up the street. Mm-hmm. So it would be very problematic to have a small portion of the street two-way, dead-ending essentially into a one-way street.
So you're just recommending against it going to traffic safety?
I would recommend against that based on that fact alone. I'm sympathetic to the fact that we have a neighbor that far down the street and that he will...
As I was coming up, I had to stop and I had to back up and realign myself because my mirror was going to hit the other truck's mirror that was sitting there. So it was very close. La Conchita comes to mind, listening to the news last night, and I saw the fire personnel that were down there red-tagging homes. And then something new that I had never heard of before was yellow-tagging homes. And I would be perfectly happy to allow that street to remain as it is if 100%, if every single resident in that area allowed us to yellow tag their homes. And all that means is you're living there at your own risk. You wouldn't be able to get fire insurance. You wouldn't be able to make any of things of those things happen. You see, one of the reasons I became involved in government is, and I've said this many times before, is because I don't trust it. You know, the bureaucratic fixes I do not agree with in many of the instances. So consequently, having driven it, having listened to two reports, having a high regard for Mike Harkness and his presentation, I am certainly going to recommend that it's a one-way street coming from the top to the bottom, and that any additional parking that could be gained, great. Even if there wasn't any additional parking gained, I would still want to go in that direction, primarily from a liability standpoint. We cannot, as a city council, allow anything to take place that is going to open us to any kind of litigation. And I'm very firm in those statements. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Councilmember Higginbotham.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm in favor, too, of making it a one-way street, and I have a question. I would like to see it go to a traffic committee to examine the Bagwell's request. And I had one thought, and I can't exactly picture that corner, but would it be possible to put a stop sign just prior to their driveway to stop traffic and then...
Well, the issue still remains. If you allow two-way traffic on the bottom of the street and you have a car going uphill that's not entering the Bagwell property, whether there's a stop sign there or not, how do they now turn around when they realize that they're about to go up a one-way street? The whole issue of Schaefer Lane is that it's a narrow street to start with. If someone is traveling up a legal two-way street that's only 40 feet long at the bottom of a one-way street, as I mentioned, they're essentially going to dead-end into a one-way street with
right.
no place to turn around. There's no room for a turnaround there for us to establish a 20-foot wide radius turnaround.
Right. Okay, but my understanding was we're talking 40 feet. We're talking one property. And I have to visualize it, but I was just wondering if we could put a stop sign there. The only person that's going to be making a left turn are going to be Mr. and Mrs. Bagwell. But
not necessarily.
But there won't be a stop sign for the people that are going to go turn right and go up Schaefer.
You can't turn right and go up Schaefer. What do you mean?
Well,
it's
going to
be one way coming down.
Right, exactly. But people that aren't familiar with it, if you make it two-way at the bottom, then people are going to assume, like Mr. Bagwell, that they'll turn right and just keep going up the street. And then they say,
even
oh, my gosh, now there's a one-way sign. Now what do I do?
Even if it's posted one-way
yeah.
at the bottom.
Okay. Yeah.
City Attorney, did you want to...
Well, Councilmember Higginbotham was having a hard time visualizing. I think the map really right here, the aerial photography shows approximately the length there. One of the concerns that I've got is where the signage goes for the one-way. If you have a two-way portion, then you're putting the one-way do not enter signs right at the Bagwell's driveway. And I suspect the Bagwell's, if that does become the situation with two-way, are going to find that their driveway becomes the de facto turnaround. Mm-hmm. And if there's no notification of entering into that, Bagwell's are going to have a fair amount of traffic turning around in their driveway.
Might I make a suggestion, Madam Mayor? Dennis Delzide is probably the foremost expert on the Traffic Safety Committee on traffic circulation issues. Perhaps we could ask him to comment on the appropriateness of a short section of two-way.
Well, before we do that, I wanted to see if that Mayor Pro Tem had any questions.
Well, it's not something that I don't think I have a question as much as... you know, Bill and I didn't discuss this. However, that same day, Sunday, you said you went Sunday?
No, I went Monday.
Oh, Monday. Okay, so Sunday, my husband and I were going to the market, and I said, do you mind driving through Schaefer Lane with me? And he kind of throws his hands up in the air. So I go, and I drive kind of a big SUV, so I'm going through there, and he's going, slow down. Wait, you're going to hit, did you see that tree? And, you know, it was like an obstacle course. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I just couldn't believe it. Cars had to move for me to get through. And I don't know if it was because it was on a Sunday, because I had driven through there before, and it was very narrow, but I just couldn't believe it. And then a gentleman had to move his truck for me to get through, and then I met him at the other end, and he had to move again for me to get through. And so it is so much more narrow than I read with over the year. So I think that is something to think about. And that's all I have at this time, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Dennis, did you want to comment? Well,
I believe that the proposal to make it a one-way street all for the entire length is much easier for the general public to understand and to create approximately a 40-foot long two-way street at the very beginning would be confusing to the public, and in the interest of public safety and public understanding of how that street operates. I think it's best, unfortunately, for the Bagwells. I'm sympathetic, but I don't believe it would be in the best interests of the city to put a 40-foot section of two-way coming into a one-way. I think it would result in a lot of turning in the driveway of the Bagwells, for example. Other people might miss it and continue on up the street thinking it was a two-way street. So I'd have to concur that probably a lot of creative suggestions, but unfortunately when you're dealing with public safety and with standard signs and street markings to assist the public in how to travel certain streets, I think it makes sense to make it one way all the way.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, I'm going to come back to the council. Does the council have any more questions or comments? And if not...
I'm still getting praise for that.
Right. If not, I would entertain
a
motion.
If I may.
Sure.
I would like to designate Schaefer Lane one way, traveling up to down, because I don't know if that's east
down
or west, or
Baxter,
east or west.
Baxter,
or
to Baxter to Bay.
Baxter to Bay. And have it permanently striped at the 12-foot width mark on the most easterly side of the street. And I guess that's really all that we need to do.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it says here, the recommendation.
Can I hear a second?
I'll second.
Okay, under discussion? Is there any discussion?
No.
Okay. No. We have a motion and a second.
Can I have clarification?
Mm-hmm.
Is that to approve the resolution before you?
If that's what the resolution says, what I said.
It is, exactly
then it
what
is.
It says.
If you adopt the resolution, that gives us the latitude to do exactly what you asked us to do.
Thank you. And that includes the striping.
So it's a motion
we'll be happy
to adopt the resolution.
Yes.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Passes 4-0-1. Thank you.
Just one comment to the Bagwells. I wish we could have accommodated it, but I think
sorry.
It was best that we didn't. Okay, how about a short break?
Yes.
5 minutes.
Plan, sorry.
Before you, and when he was acting public engineer and briefed you on the entire capital improvement program, I think it was like 70 or 80 different items, and it was several hours briefing. And at that time, we promised that we'd come back on a quarterly basis and tell you all what we've accomplished or just started in the previous quarter and what's going on in this quarter. And so we're going to do this every quarter, and I think it's a good news story. But with that, I'll go ahead and turn it over to Greg Ray.
Thank you, Kevin, and good evening, Council and Honorable Mayor. As Kevin mentioned, back in September, I put you through the grueling discussion of the 70-some projects that are being considered during the fiscal year by city engineering, planning, fire, police. We have a lot of projects on our plate. The idea here tonight is not to put you through that again, but just to give you a real brief update. And I put together a capital improvement program quarterly update for you on PowerPoint here. And I'll just run through some of the things that have happened since I spoke to you last in September.
Madam Mayor, what's your pleasure? Should we listen to this and then make comments, or can we do it while it's fresh in our mind while he's explaining it to us?
Like interrupt him when he's in his presentation? Okay.
Okay, what? Let's just interrupt. Why don't you go ahead with your presentation? Thank you.
This is going to be so fast, you probably won't even get a chance to interrupt.
Oh, no, I've got big questions.
You're welcome to. What I'm presenting tonight are basically projects that have been completed since I spoke to you in September. So first off, you'll see here is Promenade 3. It is complete. That's a boardwalk that extends from the Cypress Street Bridge to the city and into the city of Grover Beach. Actually, it's a city of Grover Beach project in combination with the city of Pismo Beach. As was mentioned earlier, the landscape area near 7-Eleven there along Highway 1, that was completed by a joint effort between City of Pismo Beach Public Works crew and Grover Beach Public Works crews, and that was done to bring the project as close to possible within the original budget. And I think it's a great benefit. It's really a beautiful project. That project is complete. Vista Del Mar Stairs, finished.
Yay.
Yes, everybody's really happy to see that done. And what a great project. Brian Duncan, who is in our city engineering staff, he negotiated a change order on this project. We were originally going to simply repair the existing stairway. For a very minimal additional cost, we completely replaced the stairway with a far superior structure. It's entirely stainless steel, and it will be easy to maintain and last considerably longer than the original structure would have. Wonderful project.
Wonderful is right.
Chumash Park. Hopefully some of you have seen it. It took a little bit of a beating in the rain, but, man, Chumash Park looks great. It is 99% done. We have about 4 punch list items. Few plants to replace, a little bit of drainage to finish, but the park looks fantastic. There's some details on all these about who the contractors were and that kind of thing, but I'm not going to run you through all that unless you have questions. There we go. Next, we have some projects that are ongoing, so I'll just give you a status update since, again, the September update. Running down the list, that's the slurry seal on Shelby Road and James Way. We started design on that.
That's where I have my questions.
Construction should begin in February, if everything goes as planned. Miscellaneous overlays and slurries, we basically joined the design effort on the two projects, so that, again, design has started. Construction should begin in about February. Shelby Beach Fire Station remodel. The remodel concept was approved by council. We were going to proceed to council with a contract for the design on the remodel. However, we had, because of a damage to the rear door and the fact that the rear door on the station is too low for our fire apparatus to enter and exit through that door, we pushed forward on a project to replace the garage doors on that. And that is imminent. It's actually technically construction's begun, but the contractor hasn't shown up on site yet. So we're going through the paperwork stage of that. Next. Oh, Bill, did you want to ask
no,
a question?
No, I can wait to the end.
Harborview Waterline. Council approved that at our previous council meeting. The design is ongoing. Looks like a great project. We'll be able to resolve some of the drainage problems on Harborview as well as some of the driveway access problems. Heights 3 Booster Station upgrade. We're working on a recommendation coming at your next council meeting to do a consolidation. Engineering department's still reviewing the details on that, but that's a project we're working on. Pismo Oaks Falls lift station. We've got 99% done on the designs being done in-house. I think our city engineer is actually doing the design himself.
Yes, I am.
About that. So we've got some, not only is the eminent traffic engineer, but also eminent promenade designer also. Police station generator. The police station generator project. Our public works crews have completed the retrofits to the generator that we got in a significant savings. That our public works supervisor purchased that at a surplus auction. Saved us probably $30,000-$40,000 on that purchase, and the installation should begin here about a 2 weeks. Shell Beach Fire Station remodel, we're preparing to start the design process. We're in negotiations on the design contract with the architect at this time. Ocean Boulevard storm drain, you just approved that on consent tonight. So that project, as Dennis mentioned, should begin in about a month.
Excuse me.
Okay, we got a few more. iRelease Park, we're beginning a review of the design and bidding documents. Pavement management system, that was on the consent agenda tonight. No, yeah, it was on the consent agenda tonight also. Mm-hmm. Price Street sidewalk at Dinosaur Caves, we've got the funding secured via SLOCOG on that, it looks like. Dennis and I will be meeting with SLOCOG tomorrow to go over the details on that, so we should be able to begin design. The sewer bridge repair, we're going to begin design on that also. And the last page here, we're going to begin the project bidding phase on Pismo Oaks Lift Station, design on the Longview Waterline project. We should begin bidding on the Harborview Waterline project and bidding on the various slurry seal projects, including James and Shell Beach Road. And that's the end of the presentation. Any questions you have, I'd be happy to answer.
Okay, I think that each of us have some questions, and I'll start with Councilmember Higginbotham.
Oh, I don't have any questions.
You don't? Okay. No. Councilmember Ravenel, you have some.
You know, I don't, in fact, I'm not happy. Slurry Seal, Shell Beach Road, and James Way. Now, I just do not remember, because we've had so many conversations at council with reference to Shell Beach Road in particular, and I remember that the council was saying that is a waste of money on Shell Beach Road to slurry seal it.
There are portions of Shell Beach Road where slurry sealing the road won't have an effect on mm-hmm. the ride quality of that road.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking that into account on the project. There are portions of Shell Beach Road where actually the pavement quality is fairly good, but in desperate need of a slurry seal to seal that existing pavement so that water doesn't continue to penetrate and it doesn't continue to lose that wearing surface on top.
Well, you see, but I understand what you're saying there. But as we move forward, and we talked about it in the retreat, and then again reminded Kevin about the fact that we would really like to take a look at bonding, and we would really like to be able to take a look at fixing these streets permanently. And I'm hoping that we can do that within this quarter, certainly second quarter, for sure, to see, you know, if we can in fact do these kinds of things. I don't want to waste money on slurry sealing Shell Beach Road. And besides that, then I can hear the public. I hear the public all the time telling me, you know, well, it's all piecemeal. You know, you got it looks black here, and then you go, and then you're in an old road here, and then it looks black again. And it sounds to me that that looks like what you're proposing on Shell Beach Road, you know, as well. James Way might be another story, but. I don't know.
Well,
we gave you direction to do that.
Why don't you tell us why that decision was made?
Sure. Councilmember Ravenel and Mayor Mary Ann Reese, give you a little more history and insight into the project. First of all, as I mentioned, there are portions of Shell Beach Road that are in desperate need of a slurry, and it really is appropriate for portions of them. This project's called the technical name for the project is the Miscellaneous Slurry and Overlay Project. We pulled Shell Beach Road and James Way kind of out of the entire project at council's request because they wanted those streets in particular to get special attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, due to fiscal restraints, we can't obviously go in and tear up the entire road, which is, like you mentioned, a bonding opportunity perhaps. But what we can do and what we're proposing to do is slurry seal the portions that need it. And then in the other portions, we're looking at some other options that will be included as part of this project, you know, should money allow. We're looking at, our city engineer has recommended that we look at an option of what they call profile.
Up again, and that's what they are for the public that's interested in that, is these seams when you go brum, 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 down Shell Beach Road. It is actually the seams between the big concrete blocks that are down there. So
it's been a problem forever.
Mm-hmm. It's been a problem forever. And I don't want to waste money. I want to go after money to redo Shell Beach Road. The only places on that I can see where slurry might be a benefit is at the very northern end, past Spyglass. Certainly not through the through Old Town Shell Beach, you know, that quarter, you know, Maze Restaurant, the little market, the liquor store, the...
Well, maybe we should ask them what portions they plan to slurry.
Well, Dennis just confirmed that. He was shaking his head when I was saying.
What portions would it be?
What portions are...
North of Spyglass.
We're basically looking at the entire street and looking at options for the entire street. I think the slurry seal is most appropriate from the portion about Terrace, where the school is there, the elementary school, north to Spyglass. That's where it's most appropriate. And then a small portion before it becomes Highway 1 near Dinosaur Caves Park. That middle section that you mentioned, certainly, that's where most of the concrete plates are shifting.
Sure.
And, you know, like I said, it's an opportunity for us to look at what our options are, and I think without wasting money, you know, I think we can make some valuable short-term improvements now at a fairly low cost. And then certainly we're behind council if you're considering other funding options.
Well,
again, this item will be brought before council, you know, for more direction and approval when we get closer to having a design contract ready to approve. So if you've got more insight at that point, we can.
Okay, I think they answered the question that it's from the area of Terrace North. And so they're not really putting money into the area you were concerned about.
That's not true.
No, that's not true.
We are looking at options in that area. We'd like to do a pilot project. We'd like to try some micro grinding to try to smooth out that area and see. Now, the biggest complaint really, you know, that your residents are going to give you is the ride quality. And so we'd like to address that ride quality and do it at the least cost possible and see what happens. We don't really know. In this particular street situation, we really don't know how well that's going to perform. You know, it's different than a lot of other cities and a lot of different kinds of streets in neighboring cities. So,
now, did you say micro grinding?
Yes.
What exactly is that?
You'll see that on the freeway a lot of times. Caltrans uses that where there's little bumps on the freeway. Mm-hmm. They'll do very, very precise grinding, which provides an extremely smooth surface. You see it on concrete.
Does that have the lines in it for like water drainage?
It can have. That's micro grooving. It's similar.
And then after you do that, then you slurry seal it. And
okay,
so
yeah.
In front of Dinosaur Caves, you're thinking of doing that there?
Well, actually, the pavement in front of Dinosaur Caves isn't bad. It's much worse than the old Shell Beach.
It's really bad in front of Dinosaur Caves as well.
Well, I'm just not an advocate of going forward in this thing until we can talk to Mr. Eads and see if there isn't some way that we can do a major road repair work and get it done over a 24-month period or something like that.
So that we don't prolong the discussion here too much tonight, you know, we'll look to you for more direction on that issue. We'll bring you some options and some of the things that we're considering.
I think the city manager had something he wanted to say.
Yeah, Madam Mayor and Council, if you back about 3 months ago, prior to the elections, we had Mr. Statler from San Luis come in here and give us the 5-year fiscal forecast. And at that time also, we talked about options to fix the roads in Pismo Beach, because as you all know, there's almost no funding or very little funding coming down from SLOCOG because of the state's budget. we cannot get bonding to the major count, the major amounts of money that you're talking about, the millions of dollars to fix all these roads, unless we were to go forward and have a flow of income to ensure that bonding, which means raising a tax, an additional tax. If you think back, we even talked about there's a trial balloon floated about increasing TOT. There was a big discussion about that at the time. There's a number of the public appeared before you all about that. And there was some other taxes that Mr. Statler talked about. But we have to have an additional flow of income into the city to get a bond of the amount of millions of dollars that you're talking about to properly fix these streets. Now, we can bring that back again and refresh your memories, and maybe that'd be worthwhile because we have a new council member. We're heading into this 2-year budget.
Well, that would be very appropriate to bring that back, and possibly the sooner the better, because I do remember all of those discussions mm-hmm. that are out there. And what I was looking for Mr. Eads was to come back now with the specific guidance that you're talking about. You don't need to bring this thing back to refresh our memories. We were all there. What you need to bring back to us is a direction based upon what you've heard from council. And should we hold this hire this polling firm? Maybe so.
Well, I don't think the staff has had direction.
Well, maybe they haven't had explicit direction, but what they have had is a presentation from Mr. Statler and others about possibilities to make this happen. And what I was expecting was something to coming back that would give us a detailed options of where we should go, not a reiteration. I was just counting my syllables for Ian the other night. Reiteration of the things that were already presented.
Okay, but you have to have the total council support on what you're asking for.
Oh, is that how it works?
And so I would hope that, you know, if that's what we want to do, that we make a decision to do it, all of us. But I think what we're talking about is some middle ground here and doing some work. And either it sounds good to us or it doesn't, and we just want to wait until we do everything. I think a couple of those things that he was trying to do, I think, in trying that the new grinding system might be an answer that's cheaper long run.
What Greg's talking about tonight is, in just part of the overall briefing that he gave, is trying to fix some of the problems that we have right now. Yes, do we need to do something larger? Absolutely. But that doesn't mean we should be paralyzed into doing nothing about some things that we can fix right now.
No, and that's like the slurry. And now that you explained to me the areas and things like that, I do agree with that.
And he did. And the city manager said he was bringing it back to us in around a month, right. So we could probably discuss it at length then.
I will do that. I think we need to discuss it.
Mm-hmm. Good. Mm-hmm. Very good.
And then I had a question on the Promenade 3, it says construction complete. I walk that frequently, and where it splits and it goes to a sand walkway and then the wood walkway. At the end of the wood, or the beginning of the wood walkway, it has bikes, zero, you know, slash through it, no bikes on the wood because it's so narrow. And on the Grover Beach end, it has it as well. Well, on the someone keeps knocking it down, and I'm sure some of our staff goes out there and puts it back up, because then I'll see it up, and then 2 days later it's down. And I'm just, is there any way that we can secure it there where it's not so easily knocked off?
The no bike sign?
Mm-hmm.
We can certainly look into that.
Sure. Look at it. And then
could I just address that a little bit? What I'd also like to do is take a look at SLOCOG in the future and putting a bike path next to that wooden bed.
Well, they do use it. It splits.
Yeah.
It splits, and the bikes go through the sand. It's a little rough, but it's kind of hard sand. Yeah, the bikes go that way.
Yeah, but the amount of residents, I mean, at Shell Beach Elementary School, when I go down there every day to pick up my boy.
I think that's a great idea, because there's a lot of bikers
that go
through.
That's what they're saying. You know, why are you prohibiting children from riding their bicycles on that?
And safety.
Well, the way it's constructed now, yes.
And then the other thing, on Promenade 3, I didn't see here, there was, I don't, it seems like I read it somewhere here, but yet when I went back over, it was about north, the Promenade going north And that wasn't addressed in your presentation. If that's up and coming?
I think I know what she's talking about. Something has to be redone.
You're referring about the section from the Cypress Bridge to the existing promenade at the end of Addy Street?
No, I'm talking about from...
The bathrooms at the pier north.
Oh, that's Promenade 4. That's another project.
Uh-huh.
And that's
so
in
that wasn't
right
addressed
now.
In here at all? Didn't I read
no.
it somewhere?
It's in design right now. There's been no real change other than the design is progressing. So this is just a status update.
Okay. So where is that going?
We have submitted our application to the Coastal Commission for their review for the permits. It's in design, as Greg says. And another thing that's happening in parallel is, what's the third thing? Right-of-way. At the end of the cul-de-sac on Main Street, our right-of-way consultant has begun making contact with the three property owners at the end who have verbally agreed to give the right-of-way to the city in exchange for the construction of the cul-de-sac. And some things we can go in parallel, other things have to go in series because the grant requirements and the particularly right-of-way requirements, you have to make sure you do things in a certain manner, otherwise it invalidates the proceedings. So anyway, there are several things going on all at the same time.
Actually, Dennis and I took a trip during the rainstorm there to take a look at some of the erosion that's occurring. That's the Ocean Boulevard Bluff area, so part of that will be addressed by the Ocean Boulevard drainage project that you approved tonight. Part of it's being addressed by the sandbags that were placed down there by Public Works and CDF crews.
Native plants.
It's definitely something that has our attention, and
okay. And
we're very concerned about it.
Okay.
Also.
Thank you very much.
Jane, thanks.
Okay. If there's no other comments, should we just receive this report then?
Yes, ma'am. It's
okay.
I'm sorry. Need to open it to the public, I think.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do now. Is there anyone in the public that would like to speak to any of those items we just reviewed?
Paul Salko, 871 Merced Street. Madam Mayor, members of the council, the one item on the agenda that I'm particularly interested in, and I'm not here to harp on it or just wanted to kind of give an overview from my opinion or my perspective, is the proposed improvement of the lift station and the expansion of the water line going up Longview to Merced and Longview. I live next door to the lift station. I have no objection to that. I've had some very productive meetings with council people and city staff, and I thank them for their courtesy and response. Again, I do raise the question, you are expanding the lift station at Merced and Longview, and you're going to eliminate the one at the top of the hill is the general plan right now. You're going to spend $1.7 million roughly on expanding that station and do some architectural design and other improvements. What you're going to do is leave one of the worst humongous utility poles in the city of Pismo Beach right on city property from which emanate either coming to or leaving the pole almost 30 lines. And I'm saying, if you're going to spend $1.7 million, why don't you eliminate that pole as part of your improvement project? Go above and beyond what you're expecting a developer to do. I know you're going to remove several of the lines, which is nice, but that still leaves dozens of lines up there. You're spending $1.7 million, and you're going to save $300,000 at the top of the hill. Add some more money and start being a better-than-average citizen and remove that pole. And it would certainly help the other neighbors as well. I think we would look at it participating somewhat in this procedure or operation, but I think the city has to step forward here and say we have part of the blame here for this confluence of wires here that has occurred. And I'm not blaming anybody here, but I'm saying you're at the design stage right now, and I understand that, and I appreciate everybody's input into it, and they've been very, very helpful, and I do thank them again. And I know Mr. Rice has looked at the situation, and I know money is the situation again here, but look ahead. The city says in their general plan is undergrounding of utilities. Step to the plate here and show that you are going to lead the way. As I said earlier in my previous comments, there's three people involved here: the homeowner, the city, and the utilities. Let somebody step to the plate here and show some leadership. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Paul.
I think that we did talk to staff about that particular item at one point. And I don't know what the conclusion was.
Well, it's is there what any comes out of the design.
Is there any guesstimate of what it would cost to underground that?
We're in the process right now of getting estimated costs from PG&E, the phone company, and cable TV. It's too early to say exactly how much it's going to cost, several hundred thousand dollars. And when we have that information, we can report back to the council and also Paul Sacco and some of his neighbors who met with city staff on this issue. What our approach was when we submitted a budget request to improve the water system up in that area, as the council is very well aware, through the years we've had low water pressure complaints from people just for their daily use, taking a shower, running their appliances, and so forth. But in addition to that, we also have a fire flow requirement or fire flow standard that we're not able to meet in the upper area. And those issues were designated as priority one in the city's water master plan that was recently completed and adopted. So we're at the very preliminary stages of designing the improvements in the heights. And the there are two overhead lines that go to that pump station.
Greg, we're going to do that, Paul.
Pardon?
We'll do that.
I thank you. I appreciate it. Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, thanks, Paul.
Okay, is there anyone else in the public that would like to speak to this item? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the council, and this is an information item. And there's no action required on it. Thank you.
Item 6C is a resolution appropriating money to update our pavement management system. And